Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
So from Romans 12, starting from verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. This is the word of the Lord. We have Jonathan Davies bringing us the third week of our spiritual gift series, starting with knowing gifts this morning. So I want to give him a hand, make him feel welcome.
The peace of the Lord be with you. The more you clap, the longer I preach. That's awesome. I'm a bit nervous. I have a joke. I'm not sure whether I should say it or not. I put it out in the first service, and it got mixed results. Are you keen? Yeah. You want to hear it? Yeah. It's supposedly the best joke in the world. Wait and see what happens, eh, Mark? All right, here it is. A certain political rally was happening in a certain country, and what they'd done, they booked out a huge stadium, massive stadium. And they'd done it with the intent purpose to show how smart they were, and in fact that they were the smartest generation of all time. And so it was all around that they were the smart and getting smarter, and they're just really smart. And so after the bands had played and the speeches had happened, at the very end of the night, you can imagine this huge stadium, you know, 50, 60,000 people there, what the MC decided to do was to pluck somebody from the crowd and to prove how smart they were. So he did. He plucked somebody from the crowd, and he brought him out the front. The guy was a bit nervous, but nevertheless brought him out the front and said, look, we're going to prove how smart we are. I'm going to ask him a series of questions, mathematical questions, that will prove just indeed how smart we are. And so, all happened. The first question was, what is 33 times 3 plus 1? The guy gulped, but decided that he knew the answer, and he said, 7. Probably wasn't the response that the MC was after, and there was a bit of quietness, you know, sort of deathly quietness in the stadium. And at the very back of the stadium, one voice, this guy stood up and said, give him another chance. And so it sort of echoed down through the stadium. And so the MC said, oh, look, wouldn't normally do this, but yep, let's give him another chance. And so everybody, you know, applauded and cheered, and, you know, we just prove how smart we are, we'll just give him another chance. And so the MC thought, well, for a moment, what's 10 times 10? The guy knew that the weight was descending upon him. And so he thought for quite a while, and he said, 9. Again, more silence in the auditorium. And the MC sort of wondering what to do next. But the same voice at the back of the stadium stands up and says, look, give him another chance. And it's sort of greeted with more applause and more cheer this time. And so the guy said, look, the MC said, look, okay, we'll give him one more chance. And it sort of applauds. And so he's, what's the question I can ask him that he won't get wrong this time, is what he's thinking. So he said, look, here's a question. What's 99 plus 1? Now, this poor fellow, you could feel for him, can't you? Like, the weight of the whole generation is upon his shoulders at this point. And he's sweating, visibly sweating under the lights, and he's, you know, the big armpit sweats and everything's going on. And so he comes forward to the microphone and he says, Is it 100? And the whole place erupts in this mighty roar, and they say, give him another chance, give him another chance. Who said that? Any jokes gratefully received, let me tell you. Joke books for Christmas. Next week I've got something really important I want to talk to you about, so I encourage you to be here next week. So I really want you to hear, and I really want you to buy into, so I'd like to encourage you to come next week. Often, you know, there's really special things that happen in the life of our community, and there's not a lot of time at the front. We get a lot of asks to publicise stuff and to bring things forward for people's attention, and there's not a lot of time, but every now and again something pops. And so this morning we just want to honour, there is Craig. Craig Chapman has written a book, a biblical historical novel. And so he's, we're pretty excited for Craig, and Craig's one of our elders, serves really well with us. And so we wanted to make that known so people would know that. He's launching it next week, 2:00. Do you want lots of people there? Want everyone there. So it's 2:00, and it's a biblical historical novel. So come and buy a copy and have a look and see Craig's work, and we can rejoice with him. It's a good thing, isn't it? It's great when God does something amongst us. So let me lead you in prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, to worship you, to understand more. May that be truly our experience this morning. May we understand more about you. Lord, we want to live this life and live this life well, so lead us and guide us. Open our hearts, Lord Jesus. Let us put aside our prejudices and let us hear your words, we pray. Speak, Lord, for we are all listening. In your name we ask. Amen. Well, here we are, week three of five, that we are delving into the whole realm of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you'd know that I like to use the phrase, the resources that God gives us to live an extraordinary life. God has given everyone who is a believer in Jesus at least one gift. There are many who have a lot more than just one gift. So I encourage you, and I say to you, that the one of the huge responsibilities of being a follower of Jesus is that you would discover and use your gift. You have it for a reason. Find out what it is and serve well. The Bible uses many images to describe the church. And so for today's topic of spiritual gifts, the image of the body is a really good analogy for us to understand. It's helpful as we grapple with what it means to have spiritual gifts in the midst of a community. It's helpful because it shows how the different parts fit together and also that they how they are unique. It shows how the functionality is designed to operate, that one part is not dominant, that one part is not overarching all of others, or that no one can claim exclusion from the rest of the parts. There is a mutual interdependence that has to be for a body to function in its right and in its proper place. So it stands to reason then that isolation leads to atrophy. If you are alone in your gift mix, then you are like a part of the body that is severed from the rest, an organ that is taken out, or a part of the actual body that is divorced and it cannot function in the way in which it should. You can't enjoy spiritual vitality in a vacuum. God has designed his church for us to be together, connected. The Spirit, with great wisdom, has distributed gifts to every member of the body, so no single member has all the gifts. What this means, ultimately, is we need each other to survive, to be the church. So here we are, the halfway point of our series. So far, we've covered the work and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then last week, the speaking gifts. Today, as the banner suggests, we're working on the knowing gifts. So if you've missed any, I encourage you to catch up with our podcasts. If you haven't already started, I encourage you to start on the booklet that we've produced, that you would be further resourced. I'm wondering, though, if anybody can remember the threefold reason I'm saying for the purpose of the gift. Can anybody remember one of the threefold reasons? Yep, tell me, Wendy. To glorify God. Hand that lady a chocolate. Okay. There's two more chocolates up for stake, up for go here. The second reason, I want them in order. The second reason. Beg your pardon? Encourage the body that others would be edified. Yeah, that's good enough. Yep. Who said that? Oh, right down the back. Okay. And the third, final reason? Yep. That we would be satisfied. So, Die Schultz. Thank you. Changes it when there's chocolate involved, isn't it? So, today we're talking about the knowing gifts. Here they are. Discernment. Faith, healing, knowledge, miracle working, and wisdom. Six gifts in all. And like the speaking gifts, they are lumped broadly into this category and maybe some might seem a slight bit forced. For instance, healing and miracle working, but I'm going to speak to that in a minute. The hard ones to locate into one of our three categories. So we put them here for the simple reason these gifts carry out the known will of God. It's a bit blunt, but I'm hoping that you get the gist of what we're doing and what we're up to. In a broad sense, in a general sense, knowing is incredibly important for us to live day by day. We've been part of the information era now for quite some time, and all of us feel the benefit of knowing more things and having information at our fingertips. You know, when I think back to when I was a kid, the biggest threat, really, the global threat was who was going to press the nuclear button first? Was it the Soviets or was it the Americans? You know, some of you as old as me, you know, you remember that. Like, now, it's different, isn't it? The biggest threat is who has the most information, who has the most knowledge. Knowledge is a phenomenally big deciding factor. Think about WikiLeaks. Think about Hillary Clinton's emails. Think about all the kerfuffle that went on with our latest census when we tried to do it online and it was all hacked and all sorts of things going on. Knowledge is power. And big companies know this. Marketing companies know this. Let me give you an example of how knowledge is working and how it's been shared without you even knowing. Some time ago, I was on Gumtree. You all know what Gumtree is? Yeah, like a big, huge Australia-wide garage sale. And I was looking for a backpacking tent, and I couldn't find one. A week later, guess what comes up in my Facebook feed? Adverts for backpacking tents. Oh, what's going on here? Isn't that interesting? And that happens for selling stuff. What happens if somebody wants to use it for not so good purposes? For manipulation, for social engineering, for all sorts of evil things. I'm sure it already happens. Suffice to say, my friends, that this era of knowledge is going to increase at a rapid pace, and our kids and our young people and our grandchildren will be faced with more knowledge, the access to more knowledge than ever, and they will struggle to cope. We're going to know more and more about more and more. That's what's going to happen. But knowledge for God is an important factor of life as well. God wants you to know certain parts of information, not just so that you can attain more degrees or have more books on your shelf, but so that it might change your actions. God wants you, us, all of us, to know His revealed will in order for us to navigate into His preferred future that He has mapped out for us individually and us as a church. Knowing in God's economy, and I'll speak to this at some length in a minute, knowing leads to doing. God has given us knowing gifts in order that we might bless the world around us with eternal truth, to augment, to change circumstances, to change attitudes, to change situations. Why? So there might be an eternal outcome. What I'm saying is that the knowing gifts help us to do the work of God in the world because they bring truth. In fact, the knowing gifts bring God's revelation and thus transformation into our present context at this very moment. So the danger for those who have these gifts is quite real, and the results of misuse are really quite damaging. The temptation is to speak out of your own good idea rather than out of the heart of God, or to act out of your own good idea. Like the speaking gifts, this is one group of gifts that hinges heavily on personal holiness. If you have one of these gifts, then my goodness me, you have to remain close to Jesus. For those with the gift, it's easy to think that you've heard from God, yet to be speaking out of your own prejudices or personality. The knowing gifts never speak beyond what is revealed in Scripture. That's one helpful, useful way to understand the purpose or the function of a knowing gift. The other is, of course, testing. That's why I've spent some time talking about the church as a body and included that reading from Romans 12. As a body that is whole and interconnected and needs each other and every part. Knowing gifts need to be tested by other parts, be verified, to be ratified, to be discerned. A good example of this in functioning in our community at this moment is the Monday monthly prayer meeting. And often when they hear something from the Lord, they submit it to the eldership for testing. It's a way which one body helps the other part of the body. Last week I used the threefold test of gifts to help us understand how these gifts are used, so I'll do that again today. And I asked the question, how? How will God be glorified? How will others be edified? How are you going to be satisfied when you use these gifts? So we'll use them again and see how we go. Here we go. First thing, God is glorified. There's a simple thing that I've not yet mentioned so far in this series, and it's this, that when you use your gifts in service, you're actually already glorifying God. You glorify God by doing what He created you to do, like a parent watching a child grow up and make it on their own. I think God gets a huge sense of satisfaction when He sees His church and the members of His church finding their feet and hitting their straps. When the church flourishes in terms of the use of gifts, not necessarily numbers or size or all that sort of stuff, in the use of gifts, I think God is super satisfied. And so we honor God to the fullest extent by using the resources He has placed at our disposals. When you live into your purpose of life, you honor God by saying, in serving and in the actions, I believe you created me for this, and so I will back it up 100% with all that is within me. Specifically to the knowing gift, there's a fact that using your gift brings God's truth and purposes clear to the world. I've hinted towards this already, but what specifically the use of these gifts do is authenticate the message of the gospel in today's context. That's to say that the knowing gifts back up the already large entourage of witnesses to God's activity that's going on in the world. Now, I'm going to ask you to stick with me. I know it's a little bit warm in here. Well, I feel a little bit warm. Maybe it's just because I'm out the front. I ask you to stick with me as I try and unpack this just for a few moments. Essentially, these gifts impart the knowledge that God has been active, is presently active, and will be active in the history of the world. God is glorified in this because when God speaks through a knowing gift, we can see that God is alive and moving presently in the world. And this knowledge is not just information, but because it's real truth and it can be seen as that, and the resonance is the same as that, it allows for change in physical and spiritual and spatial ways. And that's one reason why we've included the miracle working gifts here. This knowledge changes things. When you know God is speaking, it alters the way you hear the knowledge in the way you act on it. Indeed, God's word is not a passive word, but a life-transforming word. His knowledge and His subsequent actions throughout knowledge are not wasted breaths. When God speaks, it's evocative and it happens. You know, When my kids were, I should say, little, sometimes still happens, and I'm sure every parent here would understand exactly the same as this, there is a sense in which there's incredible healing. And I'll tell you how it works. We say things like, can you pack up your room? Can you clean up the mess that you've made? Can you unpack the dishwasher? And there's a deafness that descends, which is immediately changed when you say things like, would you like some ice cream? Would you like to watch a movie? Would you like to share these bakery delights that I have? I don't know, does that happen in your house too? It's a miraculous healing, like Butler's house too. Something, and you can whisper quietly in one room, would you like some ice cream? And it reverberates through the back into the backyard and everybody knows. God's knowledge communicated to us is not like a child, like a parent asking a child to do something. It's recognized as truth. Let me explain how that works. I don't know, hundreds. I've presided at hundreds of funerals, more. I don't know. And often I get asked to do funerals of Christians, but then often non-Christians. And I wonder sometimes, why do you ask me, a clergyman, if you want a non-Christian funeral? I don't mind, I'll just do the Christian funeral. And I'll talk about God's love and His eternal hope for us all. But I'll tell you what, when I read Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, I can feel it. You can feel it. I can see you nodding your heads. You can feel it too. Or when, you know, especially particularly at a non-Christian funeral, and they say, well, look, it'd be great if we had a Bible reading here, and they go, Psalm 23? I'm like, awesome. Love to read your Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you are with me. Like, you can hear it, but you can feel it, can't you? The knowledge of God, which comes laden with truth, which is evocative. And so in the midst, standing there in the midst with a coffin there, facing the worst thing that most people will ever face, the loss of a loved one, you can see God's truth. In the midst of the pain, in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of despair, there it is. God's knowledge which carries truth. And this is what a fully developed, mature version of the knowing gift does to us. It's recognized for what it is, and it turns our faces towards God, and it alters our behavior. It says, there's something real here, and I've got to respond to it. And thus we live into the purposes of God for us when we hear it and we act on it. Another way it brings honor and glory to God is that it unites God's people. There's something sacred about us being one heart and of one purpose. God has a purpose for this church, a significant one that only we can do. It's a reason this church is here at this time and this place, and why it's meant to have a mission. The knowing gifts help us to find and to do that one purpose, that we don't miss the point what God has called us to do. So years ago, I was a youth pastor a couple of decades ago, and I was working in a church, and the church decided to have a day-long church council meeting. And I was there all day, and right at the very end of the day, there was an issue going around. It's been boiling all day. We couldn't work out a way forward for a particular issue. And we've been wrestling with it as a council. We stopped and we prayed and we tried to understand what God's will for us, and we couldn't quite get through to it. And then in the background, one guy was sitting. He was a member of the council, and he was sitting there, and he said, you know what? I've been thinking, and I wonder about this. And he spoke a couple of sentences, and all the rest of us went, oh, wow, fantastic. Great, exactly what we needed to hear. The way forward was... cut through all the things that we'd been thinking about, and it went on to be pivotal in the life of that church. And as I drove away there, you know, I thought, I was reflecting on the meeting, and I thought, you know what? I reckon I just heard a word of knowledge. Someone speaking to that council with sovereign word that God wanted us to know and God wanted us to hear, and it was able to augment the most wonderful future for that church. Without it, we'd have been all at sea. We honour God when we fulfil the purposes that God has for us, and these gifts, the knowing gifts, help us do that. There's one more part I want to share about God being glorified, and it has to do with the knowledge of God, that you might know God, not with a head, but with a knowing beyond that. Let me explain this. I worked out early, as a kid, the code language for the word know in a biblical sense. Someone's got it. Good, thank you. It's blank faces before. And I remember working out, reading Adam and Eve's story. You know, Adam knew Eve. Took me a while. Hey, pleased to meet you. You know, Adam said, you know, I've never seen one like you before, you know. Nice fig leaves. You know, how about that gardening? Isn't it great to be here without any weeds? You know, can I take you out for a cup of coffee? Sorry, it hasn't been invented yet. How about the crow's loss? Adam didn't know Eve like that. Adam knew Eve in this most wonderful, intimate expression of life. In this togetherness of human sexuality, this beauty that God has made for us and given it to us as this incredible wedding gift to all couples. That's how Adam knew Eve. Now, I'm bending the word a bit, I'm stretching the links between the word, but I reckon in that there's a sense in which the knowledge gifts enable us to be far more intimate with God than we've ever assumed and we've ever known. And they lead us into a place that is God-designed, that is beautiful, that is holy, and that is incredibly sacred. They help us not to know God just with our head, but with our very being. Do you want to know God like that? Do you want to know God like that? With all of you, not just sort of this a Sunday, like, yeah, I'm hearing something and I borrow a bit of faith from the worship team or from the preacher, but that I've got it, it's intimate inside of me. Not just a faith that is a shopping list faith or an eternal guarantor faith, but a daily, every single moment, knowing God, connected with God, working through God. You know, it's taken me 47 years. I'm still slowly working out what that means each and every day. And when I reflect on these gifts, I believe they should lead us into this space, into the presence of God more and more. And in doing so, they honor the intent that God has created for us. Here it is. Others edified. We turn our attention to how others edified. We've already covered a lot of ground. There's an intimacy with God that is fostered with others when the knowing gifts are used well. And we've heard a few people who have knowing. Look, I've heard a few people who have had the knowing gifts and used them greatly to encourage others. One of the fears I perceive with these knowing gifts is that people would actually use them to tell us how mad God is with us, how upset God is with us. This has not been my experience as I've been exposed with the knowing gifts. A mature use of the knowing gifts is far more likely to build others up than anything. And if you've got one of these knowing gifts, then use it to build up the body, edify the church. God will be glorified in that. Let me just quickly run you through the six gifts so that you might know how they function in our shared life. Discernment. Discernment helps us as a community to see the truth of what is behind the visible. Discernment gifts enable us all to see clearly. Perception. Faith. Faith is a gift that sees what is to come over against what presently is. Faith helps us move into new realities as a community. Miracle working and healing gifts are a sign that God's reign continues to break into the world supernaturally. Miracles and healing help where there is pain and suffering, and they bring the knowledge of God in tangible ways. The gift or the word of knowledge is a spoken word that brings resolution to complex problems. For the church, it's like a light bulb going on when we've been walking in shadows and groping around in the dark. The gift of wisdom is the application of God's ways to the present context. It relies heavily on the scriptures. It's often in direct contrast to the world around for the simple reason that God's ways are different and that his wisdom is wonderful. If you have one of these gifts, I encourage you to dig deeper into their particular nuances, and you can see, though, how useful these gifts are when they are used by mature believers. Lastly, you're self-satisfied. My friends, there's no great surprises here. What I said last week still applies. I point you to the podcast. When you continue to mature and work in your gifts, you will be deeply rewarded because you are in sync with what you are made to be. Over time, that gnawing feeling of there is more is replaced with, I cannot believe I get to do this. So let me finish. Here is the great gospel principle. Giving equals receiving. It's the unnatural, the ununderstandable mathematics of God's kingdom. Serving in your gifts brings you joy and meaning beyond your wildest dreams. Test me. See if I'm wrong. Let me finish with this story. Quite a few years ago, I pulled down the chimney in my house. Has anybody ever pulled a chimney down? Don't do it if you're thinking about it. Terrible job. Dirty, filthy job. I pulled the chimney down, and I was expecting to have a whole pile of bricks that I could use. When I started pulling the bricks apart, they turned out to be not just seconds, but thirds and fourths. Terrible bricks. My house was built in the 50s. Materials were scarce, and there was the bricks that were used were just almost good enough to be thrown away. Like, I reckon they were forged in Queensland, really. I mean, sorry if there's a Queensland here. I mean, they're just bent like a banana, like just terrible, chipped, broken, cracked, everything. I had a pile of them at the side of my house. Huge, big pile of these bricks. There's thousands of bricks that come out of a chimney, let me tell you. And anyway, I was going, had a plans to use them in a nice visible space. I like red bricks on as pavement, but I looked at these and I thought, these cannot be used. These are just so awful. Different thicknesses, different sizes, all, you're like, awful. Anyway, long story short, I had a spot at the back of my shed that I wanted to use, and I wanted to clean it up. And I thought, well, I've got these bricks. They don't owe me anything. I've got to pay to get them disposed of. I might as well lay them at whatever they look like behind my shed. And so for the last few weeks, my wife and my mum and dad have been helping me chip away all the mortar off them and lay these bricks down. And you know, I finished it on Friday morning, put the sand over it and you know, tapped it all in real nice. And I got to say, actually, looks all right. Actually, looks really good. All these bent, broken, cracked bricks. I don't know what is exactly right for you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how you feel about yourself, but I hazard a guess that a lot of you feel bent and broken, discarded, like you've got a whole pile of stuff hanging on you that needs chipping off, like that you're actually useless. Do you know, when you're put together in the body, when you're put together with others around you, you know, you can actually be really useful, and you can actually look really good, and you can actually have a purpose. So here's God's word for you. Find your gift. Even if you think that you are excluded from having one, find your gift and use it in the context of the body, because in the end, you will be useful, but you will have something beautiful to show from that. Let me say a prayer. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us. We thank you for the way in which you endow us with extraordinary things, that you bless us beyond even our wildest expectations. We thank you for the gifts May we have the courage to find them, to use them, to work into them. May we be able to serve not just you, but the world in which you've created. In your name we pray. Amen.